You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast right here at PodcastDetroit.com.
Yep, we are. So we've got a great show today. You've got a guest here. Why don't you introduce him there, Matt?
Yes, we have a client of the Centropolis Accelerator at my employer, Lawrence Technological University. We'll ring the shameless plug bell for that one. The Accelerator basically is a business incubator for companies that have physical products, as opposed to a lot of the incubators around here that deal with software and apps and intellectual property, that kind of thing. Our guest today, Nizar Akil, is the founder of MaxFit, which is a gym product. So it is a physical product indeed. Nizar, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about MaxFit Pro. What is the company's mission?
So we actually have three equally important missions. One is to bring to the world the first truly portable fitness product. This one is a connected fitness product. Secondly, we want to bring health and fitness and well-being to people all around the world. And third, we want to manufacture this right here in Detroit.
And have you accomplished all those goals?
Or? We're working on it. Okay. We're just in our infancy, but we have working prototypes, and we're on our way to producing by the end of this year.
So I'm looking at your device all folded up on the table there. I'm assuming when they go to the website, they can see it being used in various ways, right?
Absolutely. MaxFitPro.com. You'll see the device in many colors, different functionalities. It's just an amazing machine from all the feedback that we've been getting.
So how do people use the machine? Do you hang it on a door, put it in a doorway? How does that work?
Yes, there's multiple ways to use it. Exactly as you mentioned, on top of a door, we have brackets that are provided that are easily slide on top or the bottom of a door. And also you can stand on it. Literally you can sit on it. You can do planks off of it. Basically, it replaces all of the machines that you'll find in a gym.
Huh. I'm less of a plank and more of a stump, but that's okay. So you build this as an intelligent fitness machine. What is it that makes it intelligent?
Well, we do have built-in sensors that read your motion and your resistance levels and feeds it directly into an accompanying app. The app itself asks you a little bit of information about yourself in the beginning and then asks you your goals, what it is that you're trying to accomplish, lose weight, gain muscle, whatever it is. And then it builds the program for you. And with those onboard sensors that communicates to your phone, it basically relays all that information and tracks your workouts.
So, okay. Price range? Is there like options or is it one price or multiple prices or what?
We'll have a base price close to $499. We're still kind of trying to figure that piece out.
Mm-hmm.
That's with electronics or without electronics. We have other features that are going to be built into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
As we start moving up, we have multi functionalities.
So this is like, you haven't really launched, but I'm a little confused. So I know you're working with the Centropolis?
Yes.
How do I pronounce that?
Yep, Centropolis.
Centropolis Accelerator. So your basic startup right now and you're getting funding and that sort of thing, is that what's going on?
Yes, exactly. We've come a long way. We've actually been developing this for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to launch production by the end of this year.
Got it.
We do have working prototypes. We're testing and validating,
mm-hmm.
as well as we've had user clinics, people ranging from ex-pro athletes to moms who just can't get out of the house as often with the kids and so on. So they're all giving us feedback that we can use to improve the the machine.
So how did the idea originate? Where did this idea come from?
So actually, I was traveling quite a bit. As this idea is almost 19 years old. Wow. I was working out a lot, but not able to keep my workouts as I was traveling. And so I wanted to find something out there that I could basically bring my whole workout that I do in a gym on the road or in a hotel room. And there really was nothing out there back then. And even today, a lot of the things that are out there are quite gimmicky and not very effective. Mm-hmm. So I worked on developing MaxFit, and this absolutely can do every workout that you do in a gym. You can do on the MaxFit at the resistance levels that you're used to, whether it's, and it goes up to 300 pounds of resistance. Mm-hmm. So if you do squats or heavy bench press, this machine weighs less than 9 pounds, mm-hmm. but actually you can do all of those workouts.
So how did you happen to get involved with the Lawrence Tech Accelerator on this?
Oh, well, they're fabulous. Actually, Director Dan Radomski and Lee Gorman have been really, really helpful in bringing me along to where I'm at today. We met at one of the conferences they were holding, and I talked to Dan. I explained to him my product, and he was extremely receptive and supportive and quickly got back to me, and we started a relationship where they have helped me all along the way in terms of not just funding support in terms of how to apply for certain fundings and grants and so on, but also technical networks of people that can help me to bring the product to life.
Huh. Okay. It seems like when I went to your website, I saw a picture with a bunch of looked like very conditioned athletes all posing. Are those are your beta customers, or who are those folks?
Well, they were obviously the models in fitness, but they're into fitness. They're not just professional models.
Yeah.
But they were some of my first feedback to get, does this machine really work? Is it really effective?
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned, I've had a whole wide range of different people that I've had different levels of fitness, different levels of experience in terms of training. To try out the machine with very little instruction, just mm-hmm. ask them, hey, what do you guys think? Can you try it out? See if it's effective. And
mm-hmm.
and we've gotten really tremendous feedback from everyone, and some critical feedback that we use to improve the product as well.
Huh.
So I'm looking at the product now. It looks like a pretty beefy constructed piece of steel. Is it steel or aluminum?
This is aluminum.
Okay. So how is this thing fabricated? Is it cast? Is it welded? I mean, how does that work?
Yes, this has mostly cast components, and we definitely want a strong structure because we're, again, putting about, you know, somewhere between 10 to 300 pounds of resistance on the device, so
mm-hmm.
We don't want it to fail in use.
No.
And we also have some injection molded components as well.
Okay. Well, you're a startup. You're developing a physical product, so I'd imagine there's a fair share of challenges in getting the product right. I'm interested to hear the story of that and maybe some lessons that you learned.
We'll take that out and edit.
Yeah. Okay. Lessons learned about developing an actual physical product. Obviously, this is something that it's not as often done these days with some of the startups. A lot of them are just focusing on apps, but I'm Detroit-based, automotive-based, so we know what we're doing. We design and manufacture products. That's what we do around here. So we weren't afraid about those challenges. Obviously, we cared a lot initially about designing it up front, spending our time up front, so we don't just spend a lot of money doing prototypes.
Yep.
Okay, so you're saying you're going to manufacture in Detroit. Have you already lined up some possible places where you'll manufacture that?
That would be the next step for us. We're doing a crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter starting next month.
Mm-hmm.
We will know better in terms of how much support we get from the general community of users and also some investors at that time, which will really dictate then to us what type of location, what type of manufacturing capability we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to do the castings and injection molding and full assembly right here in the area.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, there's certainly plenty of places around here that have experience in aluminum casting thanks to the automotive industry, right?
Absolutely. This is the best place to manufacture a product, I think, around the world. And it really helps to actually put that Made in Detroit moniker, too. It helps to sell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What help would you say that your business needs as you finalize the product and move towards production?
Well, we're going to move into production. So the additional financial support, again, after the crowdfunding campaign, which anyone can at least access through maxfitpro.com, they'll be able to support if they're interested. And that would be a tremendous help for us. And going into the manufacturing location, as you guys mentioned, would be the next step. What is the suitable location for us to manufacture?
Huh. Okay. So let's talk a bit about working with Centropolis. And how long have you been doing that?
I would say we're probably in a relation about 8-10 months now. Or, yeah, I think closing out in a year maybe.
Okay. I'm still trying to understand. I was originally thinking it was just for LTU students, but
oh,
now.
No. Oh, okay. The charter of the Centropolis Accelerator is for physical product companies, either startups like MaxFit Pro that are just getting started in production, or those who want to have the ability to ramp up. And what we're going to be doing over the course of this year is taking space in a building about 6,000 square feet that LTU bought back in 2015, I think, and we haven't used all of it yet. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be building a physical prototyping center for physical products in there. So it's going to have things like, you know, production equipment, 3D printers, you know, maybe the proverbial drill press or lathe or something like that, you know, machining parts so that physical prototypes of things can be developed.
But that full-fledged manufacturing, you'd still job that out somewhere.
Yeah, right, exactly. This is for product development and also for getting the processes right. So, but it's for physical. The whole idea is, you know, we're Detroit. We make stuff. We build stuff. That's what we do here. But there aren't very many accelerators that will help you do that. So that was the whole idea behind getting this thing. And you know, we've got support from the MEDC and the City of Southfield on this.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
So does there? I guess you have some other plans in place for other intelligent products. Is that right?
Well, MaxFit, it's very important for us not to just have one product. We're building a company, and we want the MaxFit brand name to be recognized throughout the world someday. Mm-hmm. That's really our goal. And so we do have this as our first flagship product, the one that you see here on the table. Mm-hmm. But we do have plans to expand the product line with the additional technology, features, accessories, all in the line of health and well-being and fitness. I just want to bring better fitness and health to more people around the world.
And talk a little bit more about your app and the sensors and how that all plays together.
Right. So with the machine communicates directly all of your workouts to the app, and mm-hmm. the app itself will then keep track of your progress, and you could always go back and see how you've been doing and how you're compared to, you know, previously. It'll monitor all your calories burned and also rate your workouts. Also, it'll adjust your workouts. If your goal was to lose 30 pounds in 6 months, but you're not quite doing that, it can adjust your workouts for you and suggest little modifications for you to reach those goals. Huh. We try to make the app a fun and engaging and motivating experience to go along with the actual machine.
It doesn't like yell at you or anything, though.
But we'll send you text reminders. Hey, it's time to work out.
Okay.
So are you working with any Lawrence Tech faculty or students in this thing so far, or just Dan so far?
Well, Dan and Lee Gorman have been very helpful, but also I was very fortunate to have the senior class in the business school adopt MaxFit as their cornerstone project, which they divided up into three different teams, and they're building separately a business plan, go-to-market strategy for MaxFit. So I'm very curious at the result with the students themselves.
Yeah, see, that's the Lawrence Tech involvement there, Mike, is we take these physical product startup companies and then we do turn our students loose on them, but it's not just for students, the accelerator.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where my confusion was. But we got a minute left, so...
Okay, Nazari, this is your chance for your shameless plug now. Tell us how to get in touch with MaxFit, both as a prospective customer or a prospective investor.
Well, Matt, Mike, thank you again for having me on the podcast. I so much appreciate it. MaxFitPro.com has all the information about the product, has a video. Please watch the video, turn up the music. On there, you'll see a link to the Kickstarter waiting list. With that Kickstarter, if they are of the first people to support MaxFit, they get 40% off the price when it goes on sale. Plus, they'll be plugged into our updates and campaign, and also be privy to a lot of the free type of stuff that we'll give away along the way.
And are you giving a lower price in the Kickstarter than it would be on the retail side?
Yeah, absolutely. 40% off for the early bird Kickstart supporters.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much, Nazara Keel, creator and founder of MaxFit, the all-in-one gym product. Check it out at maxfitpro.com. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another exciting segment of the M-Squared TechCast.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Well, cybersecurity is exciting, right?
Oh, yeah, and scary. It can be scary,
yes. Hopefully Jim Karp, the chief, let's see, you're actually the chief digital officer. I was calling you the chief technology officer. Is there a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of a subtle difference. Really, the digital officer is looking more from the broader perspective of when you're moving from an analog universe, paper-based, more to a digital, and focused in on the client experience aspect of everything along with the technology. So CTOs or chief technology officers typically focus in on the technology. The digital takes the bigger perspective and spends less time with the digital or the technical piece.
All right. And you're also vice chairman at, we forgot to mention, Raymond. Everybody's heard of Raymond, right? You know, big office out of Troy.
Absolutely. Yep. We've had a good run. It's been a lot of fun.
And Raymond, about a year ago, acquired a company that we're both well-known, Trivalent Group. And they're blending them in as we speak. And in fact, they've got an event coming up here on May 9th at the Troy Marriott. And
that's correct.
And so that'll be sort of a Trivalent Southeast Michigan coming out party, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it is on the 9th. You're right. It's at the Troy Marriott. That's in Troy on the West Big Beaver. And it kicks off at 1:30. Registration starts at 1. And we've got a whole lineup of presentations. Actually, it's 2 hours of presentations. We've got Corey Knockreiner. He's the CTO for WatchGuard Technologies. And he actually spoke at the event that we have out in West Michigan. And, you know, on an annual basis, Trivalent has been running that cybersecurity event on the west side of the state. We've had several people say, you know what, we really need this on the east side of the state. So as you're saying, with the coming out party, that's the intent behind this. We're going to bring the same mentality and energy behind it and bring it over to the east side of the state. So we do have Corey coming, and then also Jay Rivers, and he's the CTO for Continuum. And so they'll each do a presentation, and then we have a panel lined up, and that panel is going to run from 3:30 to about 4:30. And in there, we have some MSP, which is Managed Services Providers expertise. So those are people that basically do the background, all the infrastructure type of work that you've got in the background. We also have remediation experts like forensic. That would be Bill Kowalski with Raymond. And then we've got Jessica Doherty to be part of the panel, too. She's a 15-year cybersecurity expert that's been working a lot with financial institutions and quite a few commercial enterprises throughout the state of Michigan over the last 15 years.
And I believe you have a hacker session going on, too, do you not?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's going to be Corey. Corey's going to demonstrate. He did it over at the, and it's updated, obviously, but he did do that on the western side of the state. It was very well received. So he goes through several different scenarios of how the hackers work, and he actually does it live for the audience. So it's going to be time well spent. Again, after that, we've got a cocktail reception from 4:30 to 6 p.m. right there at the Troy Marriott, and we're hoping people can make it out.
So what is the overall theme of the event?
It's titled Cybersecurity Threats and Best Practices Forum. So we're going to give you the ins and outs of what's going on from a hacker perspective. And then Jay is going to talk more from how do you protect yourself. And then we've got the panel, and the panel will be open to the audience to be able to ask questions and interact and tap the expertise from all different disciplines within the industry today and get the most current information.
So what are some of the big threats today? I know the people that I talk to talk about how any network of any size is under just a constant barrage of attempted intrusions.
Yes. Unfortunately, the forces that are out there, they're going to follow the money. And what they're doing, it's basically return on investment. And so in our opinion, the biggest threat that you have is really the weakest link is the human aspect of everything. You can build out a very robust network, and a lot of people have those. But unfortunately, the phishing attacks and all of those other types of activities where the human element comes into it, that's typically where you're vulnerable. And so that's a lot of the strategies that will be discussed at this symposium itself. Is how do you lock down these things, you know, from an infrastructure perspective, but just as importantly, how do you work with your team members so they understand what the safe practices are associated with conducting commerce on the internet as we go forward?
And I think the price is very reasonable, right, to attend, right?
Absolutely. And I don't have the price right here in front of me, but I can definitely get that information out. You can get information by going to www.raymond.com. And we'll get that information out there, but it's not going to be a big price at all.
I was actually thinking it might be free, but maybe I might have misread that information that I got.
I think you're right too, and I'll double check on that.
All right, we'll correct that if we're wrong going forward. So pretty exciting stuff. I know we had our IoT Tech Connect event last year at the Troy Marriott. I'm sure it'll be a great show. Is there a maximum capacity? I mean, a lot of these are going to be your current clients, but you're also inviting other businesses that may not be your clients to attend, right?
Yeah, we're anticipating about 200 to 250 people is what we're planning for at this point. Come on out. We'll make sure that we can get people involved in the process. So we think there's going to be plenty of room. Okay. And again, this is our first shot in the greater Detroit market. We're definitely trying to get the word out. We think there's a lot of threats out there and some basic things that you can do to protect yourself to decrease the odds that you're going to be hacked.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the Raymond Group. I know when people think of the Raymond Group, they think of CPAs. So now with Trivalent, there's so much more, right?
Absolutely. We've gone through a metamorphosis. And as you look in the industry itself, the traditional CPA model is changing. And with that, you know, you have artificial intelligence. You've got robotic process automation coming along. The blockchain's coming in. The value proposition's changing. As an organization, we looked at it and said, you know, we need to add value to our clients and where are the best spots that we can do that. So, for example, we're morphing into a professional services firm. And so a lot of the advisory types of activities we've done on a historical basis, well, we've opened that up more. For example, we've gone through a reorganization here at the firm, and we have a whole team now called Raymond Solutions. And in that Raymond Solutions, we've got cloud accounting. So we can be your CFO, we can be your controller, all the way down to the bookkeeper, do it all in the cloud. You can get your tablet, your phone, and know where you stand from an accounting perspective at any given moment. 3 years ago, we launched a human capital management practice, so we can be your HR director all the way down to your payroll clerk, anything in between, and you can outsource that entire activity to us as well. And now with Trivalent coming in and doing the rebranding, it's been almost a year that they've been on board. Now we have the entire IT piece of it. Now, the beauty with the Trivalent team that came in, 8 years running, they were in the top 100 MSPs. And again, MSP stands for Managed Security Provider. Service provider. I'm sorry, because I'm going to go to the next piece here real quick. So they've been in the top 100 for 8 years. By our combination and the skill sets that we brought to bear, we applied for the MSSP, which is the Managed Security Service Provider. And by combining our two organizations together, we made the top 100 for that list too. So in the world, there's only six organizations that are on both lists as far as an MSP. As well as an MSSP, and we're one of the six on an international basis that are in the top 100. So with that, we've got the broad skill set where we can help you manage your entire IT infrastructure all the way to from a security perspective. So we can be your virtual CIO and help you with all the strategy, We can do all the ticking and tacking from an IT perspective. But then also what a lot of organizations are now doing is they're hiring what they call a CISO, which is basically the information security officer. And so with that, we've got those capabilities now to be able to couple those in. So it's a pretty powerful punch. So if you're an organization and you're out doing what you need to do and manage your business, we got your back covered with all of the IT aspects of it. And then again, under that Raymond Solutions umbrella now, we've got the accounting, we've got the human capital management, and the IT. That's a pretty powerful formula to enable entrepreneurs to go out and run what they do best. And then we can help them in the background.
So tell me a little bit about the partnership, how this came about with WatchGuard Technologies.
WatchGuard Technologies, so Trivalent, when they started a while ago, there's 12 premier partners throughout the world. And Trivalent was one of those 12. And so they've been working with WatchGuard for several years. So WatchGuard, basically, you can set it up as an appliance in your own shop if you want, or it can be virtualized and we can run it in the cloud. And basically it's a threat management. And they've got several, and without getting into too much detail, they have several layers of protection that you can kind of pick and choose and determine, you know, depending upon your risk appetite and where you want to fall on the continuum of convenience versus security, and determine how you want to manage your shop. And so we've been partnering with them for a long time. They've been out to the cybersecurity event that we've had on West Side of Michigan as the keynote speakers a couple times, and that's why we wanted to bring them back here. Corey's just an outstanding speaker, very entertaining. It's not the, you know, the sky's falling type of message. It's here's the threats, and it's not a sales pitch for WatchGuard either. It's like here's the threats, here's the options, and here's the things that you can consider doing. So, it, you know, that alone, just coming for the 1 hour, is well worth the journey.
And I did look it up online. According to the Eventbrite registration link for this event, yes, it is free.
Yes, so that's
okay.
Yeah, that's the,
I know we bantered back and forth on that before, so that's why I wasn't sure when you hit me with that question.
Yeah,
I'm glad we ended up on that part of the.
But
equation.
You charge them $25 for lunch, right? No, I'm just kidding.
probably worth it at the
Trimarion.
Yeah,
Trimarion. Sure. Yeah. No, everything's free. Let's talk a little bit about the digestion of the Trivalent Group. I know you and I have chatted about that a couple times. I know maybe by the end of the year there might be a new name or something. What's the progress on that?
Well, the new name is it's going to be the Raymond Technology Solutions. And Larry Andrus is going to be our Chief Revenue Officer, and so he'll be driving that and still at the helm. He's going to be with us for a couple more years. We have 85 engineers, the largest cadre of engineers in the middle market in the state of Michigan that's, you know, poised and ready to help our clients. Combination's gone fabulous. The important thing that we were looking for, both parties were, is the right match from a cultural perspective. And so that was the first area that we really linked up on, is to make sure that both organizations were compatible. So we have done some of the different integrations. For example, our team up in Traverse City is now inside the Raymond office. In our Lansing market, there's a lot of collaboration between those. Grand Rapids, same type of activity. And here in Southeast Michigan, we're going to be building out that practice. But we want to do it smart. And the important thing is that if you're going to go to the marketplace, you have to be able to deliver. And that's exactly what we're pursuing. So in Southeast Michigan, we have quite a few clients. We're building it out. But we want to make sure that we bring them in at the right time and that we have the right team in place to be able to do that. So we're off to a great start. We've exceeded our expectations as to where we wanted to be at this point in time, and we're extremely optimistic for the future. And the big win is again, if you're running a small to medium-sized business, it is absolutely crazy out there. It's the Wild West. And, you know, any type of organization, if you want to protect yourself, we've identified 15 unique skill sets that are required on a daily basis to keep you safe. And if you're hiring one or two individuals, for them to be proficient in all those different skills is very unlikely. And that's what we can do, is we can take our people and narrow their focus down and then leverage them across several clients and make it economical. So it's a win for everybody. They get the security that they need to stay viable, and we can make it at a price point where it's going to be very economical for them. So we believe we've got a great formula in place, and we're real excited about helping clients protect themselves and really focus their energy on what they do best.
All right. Thanks very much, James Carpies, Chief Digital Officer and Vice Chair of Raymond. And you can get a hold of them at Raymond.com. That's R-E-H-M-A-N-N. Thanks, James, for being in the studio or on the phone with us today. For right now, this is Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast right here at PodcastDetroit.com.
Indeed. And we have Dave King, an old friend. Not old, I can't say that. A long-time friend of the show.
Get
feedback on that. CEO of Red Level Group now, because you guys just keep acquiring stuff. You just acquired CDH a couple months ago, right?
We did. That was pretty exciting. We closed on that on February 1st, and it's nice to bring all of our new friends and family together.
And so I guess spring is here, and you guys, I must, it's a little spoiler here, I was at that event where they celebrated that. So I learned about, but you've been doing this for a while too, that spring cleaning where you take in all these old computer gear that nobody knows what to do with, and I got a bunch in my basement that I'm going to bring by, and you recycle it. Tell us a little bit about that, Dave.
Absolutely. Yeah, actually, the spring cleaning event is one of our signature events that we host annually. And I think we're on our sixth year with this because we found that once we formalized it, instead of sitting offering this once in a while to our customers, if we organize this with a nice event, we brought in lunch, we bring in a bunch of new equipment for clients to demo out here in the office, by putting it kind of some structure around it, clients really gravitated towards that. So what we're really doing is offering them to come into the office on those days, either here in the Novi office or in Grand Rapids coming up in April, where they bring in all their old printers, their old servers, desktops, firewalls. If you can get it here, we will take it and recycle it.
Okay, good.
All right, so what? Give us the complete rundown of what you're accepting from people on this.
Well, that's a great question, because usually there's a couple asterisks in there of a couple things that we can't take back. But we did confirm that just about everything is recyclable these days, with the one exception of those old tube TVs, if you guys remember those.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the only things that we're just not allowed to recycle at this time. But other than that, we bring in the APCs for the battery recycle, some old printers, servers, old firewalls and switches. Imagine there's old wireless access points that are hanging around. So clean out the closets and bring them all in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got some of that stuff, but I think I managed to get rid of all of the old tube-type computer monitors that were in my house. I did have a few of those, but I think Wayne County or somebody ran a household hazardous waste day where they took those. I was glad to see it, because
I never know what to do with bulky. Old. I never know what to do with old batteries, right? You use all these batteries, and then what? What do you do with them, right? So
that's true. So we are taking those back as a part of the recycling. Just for instance, last year we were able to recycle over 1.5 semi-truckloads of equipment. We palletized them all and wrapped them up. And a lot of that, again, is recycled or turned back into scrap metal. So we're helping the environment and really cleaning up a lot of these, a lot of our folks' server rooms and closets that are just collecting dust.
And literally, you're talking about heavy metals that are involved in semiconductors and screens, and solder, and all that stuff, right?
Right, absolutely. One of the nice parts also is that if for the clients that are very concerned about security, we're going to be offering on-site destruction certificates. So they'll be able to walk away with a certificate of destruction for their security officers back at the office and be able to assure them that the equipment and assets were destroyed properly.
I have actually toured an electronics recycling facility before. And one of the things that sort of cracked me up was the way they destroy old hard drives. They put them into something that looks exactly like a giant paper shredder. It's got exactly the same kind of hammers in it, and it just basically breaks the things down into pieces the size of toothpicks. So there's no way those could be reconstructed.
That's good to know, right? Yeah. You know, so that's where all your good stuff is that the bad guys would want. We probably should tell people at this point the dates on this. What do you think, Dave?
Absolutely. No, we're excited to announce these are coming up here real shortly in April. April 10th is going to be in our West Michigan at the West Michigan Works Office from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then in the Novi location, we're looking at April 11th at the Red Level Office here in Novi from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Again, both of those days are back-to-back. We're going to be offering lunch, a demo bar of some new Dell laptops and desktops that we're going to be showcasing here. So we'll get a good chance to see some new technology as a part of it. And then come on in for lunch and drop off all that stuff. We usually see a lot of the folks bringing in pickup trucks, or they loaded up the company van, or a lot of trunks start to pop open on those days each year. So we're excited to help customers and recycle that and do something for the environment as well.
So when you recycle this old stuff, obviously you're not going to stop needing IT equipment. So you're really happy to show people the new stuff too. What's the latest and greatest that you're showing off?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's a good chance for them to come in and see that, because there really aren't a lot of business solutions where you can see a menu bar of different technology. So we've got all that laid out from all of the new Latitude and Optiplex lines, as well as some of the new ruggedized equipment from Dell. So we've got all that laid out, and we've even got some of the new switching here in the office, as well as some storage. If folks are looking at how to do some of the offsite backups or storage solutions, we've got a ton of different solutions here in the office that they'll be able to see beyond just the desktops and laptops.
All right. And so this is the first time you've done this in West Michigan. I know, like you said, you've done this in Novi, gosh, a lot of years, like 8 or 10 years or so, right?
It could be. I remember 6, so maybe my memory may be fading as well. But we have done this a number of years because it is very popular.
Okay. And how is the acquisition of CDH going? Is that I know it's 2 months in, it's kind of early, but so far so good, right? Yeah,
absolutely. It's been great for both sides of the company. What we were able to do really, really quickly was to identify a set of needs on both sides of clients that were looking for software development and SharePoint solutions on the Red Level side. And then vice versa on the other side, looking for security and infrastructure, hosting and managed services. So we were able to pull all those pieces together. And right now we've identified over 32 opportunities just in the last 5.5 weeks of getting through these. And so we've got a lot of activity going on and just coming together of two great companies.
And, sorry, Matt, go ahead.
No, I was just going to change the subject a little bit to talk about, once again, the spring cleaning aspect.
Yes, we probably should get back to that.
Yeah, and as you as you look at your old stuff here, what are some of the problems that using older equipment, older software creates for companies? I know you had a whole list of things here.
We did. Well, it does create quite a few different challenges for them. One of them may be that they're running on antiquated software as well. So a couple pieces that are coming up this year that are currently end of life are Windows Server 2008, as well as SQL Server 2008. So companies that have run a pretty long-standing and stable environment are now being forced with an end of life product from Microsoft, and that really tends to run, those older softwares tend to run on older equipment. So there are a couple options that clients can look at for those older pieces of equipment. They can either look at moving their workloads off to the cloud, say Amazon or Azure as options, or two, they could look at refreshing some of that hardware as an option, and they could look at bringing in essentially new servers and storage and different pieces if they're looking at keeping kind of a hybrid or even an on-premise solution. And lastly, there are even extended warranty options that we can help clients with to decide if there are extended options to bring warranties for some specific and select equipment. There are certain providers here, even locally. One that we work with pretty regularly offers extended warranties for larger equipment like storage units and fans and servers to really help clients extend life beyond the third, fourth, and fifth, or even 6 years in some options.
Hmm. Okay. Let me look at my sheet here. So one more time, let's go over the dates on your spring cleaning, just for the audiences on both sides of the state. So that's April 10th, and where's that again at in Grand Rapids?
It's at the West Michigan Works office, and that's from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. And then Novi is April 11th here over on Grand River and Hagerty Roads, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here.
All right,
we've got a pretty large warehouse that's open and ready to receive all this equipment.
All right, cool. One of the things that you mentioned to us earlier was that there's a bunch of technologies that are hitting the end of their life in the coming months. What should folks pay particular attention to there?
One of the big things that we see, especially with end of life software, is that those manufacturers or those software providers, they tend to stop offering security updates to those pieces. So maybe 5 or 10 years ago, that wasn't of great concern as it is today because of the prevalence of scanning and hacking and compromise. But today, it's a pretty serious concern that systems need to be monitored and patched. And without those older pieces, software, they're just generally not patched as often, especially if they're end of life. And that can open clients up to significant risk for exposure, downtime, and loss of data. So it is a pretty big concern as equipment ages, as software ages, to stay current with their solutions.
Do you need to register in advance for that, or do you just show up with your equipment? How do you handle that?
Folks can do either. We prefer they register just so we can make sure that we have enough accommodations for everyone. But if it's last minute, we'd be glad to welcome them to come on in and drop off their equipment. But there is a link right off of our main website at redlevelgroup.com where they can click on that link and it'll take them right to the registration site. And they could sign up for either the Grand Rapids location or the Novi location, either one.
And then just sort of looking into your crystal ball for 2019, what do you see as the big tech trends that businesses need to be aware of for this year?
There's so many of them. Again, security has always been top of mind for a lot of IT providers, that they're looking to make sure that they maintain security. Compliance is a big issue these days with HIPAA. NIST compliance has been very prevalent with a lot of the Michigan manufacturers, especially those that do defense or federal work, as well as software. Software collaboration seems to be one of the things that we're seeing is, how do I make my business better without having to reinvent everything that I do? But I want specific data. I want specific results. And really having a conversation about outcomes, about specific problems inside of the business, that seems to be the trend of what we're seeing and focusing on here. But I think you could take a pick at any of those and maybe 10 others that that clients are really looking at for 2019.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about Red Level. Now, if folks want, I mean, what do you pride yourself on as your really claim to fame? What do you think you guys do really, really well?
Oh, I think we're just a great group of people, first and foremost. The talent that we have here is, I would say, bar none, some of the best I've ever worked with in my entire career. The folks come here with a variety of experience, and I think we've got a great program to bring them up to really from, I call it, cradle to end here, from a kind of an internship through help desk, through some of our consulting level. System engineers, and now with our new software team with the CDH family, we're able to really give a full feature of career opportunities across both sides of the company. So I think that's what we're most excited about, is being able to really build a long-term career for our team members here and give them lots of opportunity.
All right. Thanks very much. We want to thank our guest here. Help me out, Mike.
Dave King.
Dave King. Jeez, I couldn't find the sheet of paper. Who is the CEO of Red Level Group. Yeah, I had a senior moment. Sorry, Dave. We are happy to have had you with us today. Happy to hear about the hardware recycling event and all of the new software that you have available and hardware to show people. And for more information on those events, what's the website?
RedLevelGroup.com.
All right, RedLevelGroup.com. We'll be right back with another section, another segment of the M Squared Tech Cast.
Yes.
For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Greddon.
And you're listening to the M Squared Tech Cast right here at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast here at PodcastDetroit.com. So I'm Matt Rausch, and you are you, but you know that.
Yes.
And the difference between you and me is that you're always there, and sometimes I go away.
Yes.
So.
Well, we're actually waiting for one of our guests to phone in. It's 2:45. Gosh, we may have to wing a segment here. I'm not sure. But Charlie, and I'm going to take a stab at his last name, Streckbine.
Okay.
The founder of the memorial. Is he calling in? All right, here we go. Are you there, Charlie?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Okay, we're doing great, thanks.
We were just doing the intro, and pronounce your last name for us.
Good afternoon. I'm Charlie Streckbine.
Streckbine.
I represent the Monroe Street Fair.
Okay.
Yep, Streckbine. And thank you for having me on.
Okay. And that's coming up on April 6th as part of the 48th annual Hash Bash at the University of Michigan, right?
Yes, at the campus of the University of Michigan there on April 6th. The Hash Bash itself starts off at high noon on the Diag. And then the Monroe Street Fair, our music gets going at the same time at noon. And we feature six bands, and it'll be a great time.
All right, so how did the fair start, the Monroe Street Fair?
Well, back about the turn of the decade in 2001, the city administrator, in response to complaints from the Downtown Development Authority and all the businesses down there, in response to them, they drew a perimeter around the Diag, around the university property there, excluding vending and peddling within that perimeter, so basically pushed it way out on the outskirts of the city. So there was a need for something to do after Hash Bash back then, because all the vending had been gone all just in 1 year. They quit issuing permits and all of that, so kind of changed Hash Bash a lot. And some people even said at about the time Hash Bash was dying out, maybe only 1,400 people would come out to the Diag back then. And there was a great need for something to do after Hash Bash to have everybody have some place to go. So we created a concert with vending to add that needed dimension to Hash Bash, which for traditionally is just a protest. And now we brought that festival element back into Hash Bash Day.
Now, some of the people that originally participated in some of the early Hash Bashes are coming back for this particular one. Well, now that it's legal in Michigan, right?
Oh, yeah, this is going to be huge now that it's legal in Michigan. It's kind of the dawn of a new age here, you know, a post-protest era, if you will. Bringing that up, though, there still are things to protest over on the Diag at the University of Michigan. There are still a lot of pot prisoners, way too many. They should all be considered to be, you know, have their charges expunged.
So who are some of the folks that are coming back that were some of the early pioneers?
At the Monroe Street Fair, we have John Sinclair as a guest, and he'll be coming up at 4:20 for what we do as a ceremonial 4:20 countdown there. And then everybody kind of tokes in unity there right at 4:20, and we put up a huge, tremendous cloud that we give up to the gods high in the sky. So come on out and be part of that. It's going to be a lot of fun at 4:20 here.
Okay. So go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was just curious. Who were some of your early sponsors in the Monroe Street Fair, and who are some of the sponsors now?
Well, early in the Monroe Street Fair, there's a big change in the fair, as you can imagine, when medical passed in 2008. So that brought online sponsors, dispensary sponsors, and big medical sponsors that maybe from across the country. So we had this Bang Chocolates out of California call to be a big sponsor in 2012, and that was just a great thing for the fair, as you can imagine. And going back even a little bit further than that, 2009, we had Big Daddy's Hydro with 4M Magazine, with our friend Rick Thompson there in charge at the 4M Magazine, and that was really big for the fair. Then we've had a lot of legacy sponsors, these dispensaries that came on back in the day early on for us. Arborside Dispensary out of Ann Arbor and Home Depot Dispensary out of Ann Arbor. And these dispensary owners were solid in helping us develop the fair over the years. And we like to give them shout outs as we can. More recently we have Claw Industries, and without these sponsors, you know, it's a free event. So we wouldn't even have this event if it weren't for all of our sponsors. So that's something that we like to clarify when we get the chances, that Hash Bash is a free speech event on the Diag. It's a protest, and it's non-commercial. It's supported in and of itself. And the Monroe Street Fair is very commercial in order to put on a huge free festival there. So I just ask that people check out the vendors and all the sponsors there and show them some love, and they'll continue to help us put on this great fair for everybody.
Talk a little bit about how this has evolved over time. 48 years ago, boy, that's when I was a student. Well, actually, was I a student there? I guess I was a student there from 74 to 76. So that I was in that sort of time frame. But it was a quite different campus back then, wasn't it?
Well, it was. I was born in 66, so I missed some of that time myself. My first years at Hash Bash would have been in 85 or 86, mid-80s. So, and I remember a little bit what it was like. The biggest year I remember would have been in 1998. We had tremendous weather, and there was maybe 20,000 people in the city that day. Whew. And I anticipate that for this year. I'm forecasting that we have really good weather, much like we've been having recently, in the high 60s. And very nice, very dry, a little bit breezy. So I think just all kinds of people are going to come out. People that usually wouldn't come to the Hash Bash, you know, they're going to, out of just a curiosity level, I think, head out there to see what it's all about. I think we're going to have another 25,000 people in the city like we did in 98. Mm. It's just going to be an overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how many people could the Diag support? I know it's a big space, but that's a lot of people.
It is. We figure they can fit about 5,000 to 7,000 people or so in the Diag and around the Diag. When I speak of those big numbers, I'm looking at how many people come through the Monroe Street Fair between, say, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. throughout the whole day.
Okay.
Maybe not at any given time. So that'd be interesting if we had a drone or a helicopter picture looking down on the whole city of Ann Arbor to kind of see what that's like.
Well, I think Anthony Sabatella from THC123, who introduced us, I think he's trying to get a permit to do that so he can do some drone shots of the crowd.
That'd be nice. And even just hover over the 800 block and kind of get that square, and then over to 700 block and over to Diag and kind of get centralized views. It's real easy to count people once you get a nice overview of it. I just usually count 10 people in a bunch of little circles all over the place and multiply it. And we get a good crowd estimate.
Yeah.
That or I use Donald Trump's team. They'll tell you 45,000.
Biggest crowd ever. Right. Yeah. Okay. So
sorry.
That's all right. What kind of vendors can we expect at the fair?
All right. We have a lot of, cannabis related vendors, as you can imagine. We'll have Ooze is a real popular brand out there. So a lot of people, if you smoke cannabis, you're probably familiar with Ooze brands. We'll have Cafe Live from Ann Arbor out there at the dispensary. And then we'll have some really interesting vendors there with all their accessories and jewelry and pins and t-shirts. So we have this Lost and Sound from Detroit. He'll have all kinds of cool old Detroit memorabilia and t-shirts, Lenny Sinclair pictures. Mm. Lenny Sinclair's John Sinclair's wife, and she's a great photographer. And Lost and Sound Detroit will feature her photos there if you want to come out and check them out. We have one t-shirt company that handles 6 booths. They have like 15 designers at this t-shirt company and just put out all kinds of great work. So you'll find that at the Mineral Street Fair. You find a number of seed dealers, a few smoke shops, a number of CBD dealers, and some artists and some nonprofit groups such as Michigan Medical Marijuana Association and Michigan Normal. And we've got a group coming out to represent Bernie Sanders' campaign for 2020, and a Democratic caucus for cannabis will be there. So that's kind of what we have round in and out here. Weed Maps, one of the biggest names in cannabis there, is going to be there. Weed Maps from California. They'll be giving out all kinds of cool swag. Look for them if you're coming out.
Okay. I know a couple years ago I was there and they had Tommy Chong there.
Oh, yeah. That was a great time bringing in Tommy Chong. Oh, I'll never forget that. That was one of the best times of my life when he came into town.
Yeah, he's a character, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, he's just being himself. He's a funny guy. He doesn't even have to try.
Now, do you guys, does the fair or the Monroe Fair or the Hash Bash have a website we can point to people to or not?
We do. At the Monroe Street Fair, you'll find just a very deep information about the fair and Hash Bash, and that's at MonroeStreetFair.com. Spell out the word street. And everything about this year is on there, and lots of stuff about previous years is there, so you get a really good idea about what to look for if you're coming out.
So what time do the festivities begin on April 6th?
Well, I'll tell you, people start showing up there as early as 10 in the morning. Our music starts at noon, but I tell people you should get there early because of the parking situation, yeah. And traffic starts backing up the closer to noon it gets, so I shoot for, if I had nothing to do with the fair, I'd try and get there between 8 and 10 a.m. Anytime after 10, it's going to be really hard to get close. Yeah. Maybe even think of parking outside the city and Ubering or Lyft.
Yeah,
that would be a good idea to get close.
You could park at one of the Briarwood malls or something. I'm sure that it's a straight shot up State Street at that point.
It's a straight shot up State Street, and for all you people using Lyft, just put in 812 Monroe Street. That's the restaurant right there.
All right. Heck, there's probably even a bus up State Street as far as that goes from the mall.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah, bus or even get close and walk in the crowd. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great day.
Yeah, let's hope the weather, hope Mother Nature cooperates because it sounds like it's going to be interesting.
I hope so. You notice all the light on the horizon for like the last 2 months almost. It's been really nice out, so I think we'll be blessed with a fantastic day.
Yeah, and this is...
I've got it.
And this has turned into it's turning into a big business in the state of Michigan. A lot of, we're the only one in the Midwest right now that's legalized. Of course, Canada across the river has it too. But so a lot of people are really leaping into this as a business opportunity.
Oh, a lot of people are coming into Michigan, and Monroe Street Fair is a place where they're looking to network with a lot of the who's who in Michigan. There's a lot of my vendors here are well-connected in Michigan and in our industry specifically. So that's a good thing at the fair, is to come and get well-connected with people in the industry. And if you're looking for a job, it's a good place to come and meet a lot of people in the industry. About noon, all the music will get going.
And that's when the official
get there early.
And that's when they go on the steps of the graduate library and make a speech and all that jazz, right, at noon?
That's on the Diag. That's the hash bash itself.
Yeah, right.
And that starts at high noon on the Diag, which is separate from the Monroe Street Fair.
Right.
We're about two blocks south of the Diag.
Right.
We're in a little bit larger space.
Right.
And, it's in the U of M Law Quad where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And U of M, the Diag is right outside the Harlan Hatcher Library there, right in the center of campus.
Right.
It's on the footsteps of that library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we got this coming up. We've got a great lineup. Have you heard of a Hall of Fame guitarist, Billy Davis?
I have not, personally, no.
Rock and roll blues Hall of Fame guitarist.
Okay.
And he'll be performing with John Sinclair.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Perfect.
All right, Charlie.
Yeah, John Sinclair is going to come do some poetry about 4:20, and Billy Davis will be backing him up, Billy Davis and his band, which will be very interesting because, you know, John Sinclair is well known for his poetry with jazz, poetry to the tune of some jazz.
Charlie, we've reached the end of our segment. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but thanks for being with us today. Charlie Streckbein, founder of the Monroe Street Fair, coming up April 6th in conjunction with the Hash Bash at the University of Michigan. Want to thank Charlie and all our guests today. Dave King, CEO of Red Level Group, Jim Karp, CTO and Vice Chairman of Raymond, and we kicked off the show with Nazara Keel, creator and founder of MyFit, and he's working with the Lawrence Tech Centropolis Accelerator to get his product to market. Interesting show today, Mike. Wide variety of topics as usual. So we had some fun with it.
Fun.
All right. And we'll be back next Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time with another edition of the M Squared TechCast. And remember that back copies are also available. Back recordings are available wherever you can find podcasts. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.